Welcome to Ira's Everything Bagel, where I talk with intriguing people about everything, their passions, pursuits, and points of view. Well, get ready to stay up all night again. Rhonda Shearer, the host of the cult favorite Late Night Movie Showcase on the USA Network from 1989 to 1998, is back. Thanks to a partnership between Shearer Enterprises and Kings of Horror, the streaming platform with more than 1.5 million subscribers, Rhonda is once again stepping into the spotlight just in time for Halloween. The new Up All Night premieres October 25th, followed by monthly specials featuring surprise celebrity guests, wild movies, and plenty of laughs. This new chapter shines a light on the best in indie horror, from grassroots DIY gems to festival favorites, plus those unforgettable cult classics that made viewers delight in the weird and the wonderful. And you can stream Up All Night at kingsofhorror.com/upallnight. kingsofhorror.com/upallnight. You can follow Rhonda at rhondashearerupallnight.com. rhondashearerupallnight.com. And you can follow her on Facebook, Instagram, X, and YouTube. And Rhonda, welcome to the show.
Hi, Ira. What an intro. Thank you very much.
Somebody had to do it, and it's going to be me. That's all there is to it.
I get it. I love giving people their just due and their intros, and I'm shameless at promoting other people, so I get it. So thank you very much.
Absolutely. Now, for those who are listening rather than watching, you have a delightful hat on, which I like.
Thank you.
I could see myself wearing that as well, so perhaps you can send it to me or at least let me know where I can get it.
I am such a hat person, and it's twofold today because I don't have my big hair like all the fans want to see at the moment. I will for the show, and also a long trip yesterday in the car. So
With four chihuahuas.
We have a home in North Carolina and in Tampa, Florida. So we go up there and hide in the mountains, which is, I'm such a city girl, but it's very relaxing and cool.
Oh, that's great. So, well, before we talk about the new venture, for those listeners and viewers who may not be acquainted with the show and Rhonda Shearer, I want to talk a little bit about your background, because you went to Loyola, you were out of Louisiana. You've done so much stuff in the world of entertainment that I guess what I'm trying to say in my own strange way is that you're a very entrepreneurial, productive person. You just get things done.
Yeah, a very eclectic background. I mean, I started in New Orleans, Miss Louisiana, went to LA, 26 years there in front of the camera, excuse me, hosting, interviewing, acting, Happy Days, Three's Company, Married with Children. So I did a lot of acting in the 80s. And then I loved comedy. I mean, I really wanted a sitcom. It's one of the reasons I moved out there. I used it as my defense mechanism against guys. Guys don't like girls telling jokes, really. That turns them off. But anyway, which was great before the Me Too movement out there. I needed a defense mechanism. But long story short, I loved comedy, and I kept telling, you don't look like the girl next door. You have to look funny to be funny, all this stuff. So when the interview for Up All Night came along, I just decided to go crazy and just go over the top sexy and, you know, go play into what they kept telling me I was too much of. And I got the job. And so I created the character. Unfortunately, I used my own name because I was entrepreneurial. I wanted to get my name out there, but later on it would bite me in my butt a little bit, a couple of years after the show, because people just, you know, thought that's all I could do. And that's, you know, I was just that character. So anyway, it's okay though, because, you know, my name, I've used it my whole career. I reunited with my junior high school sweetheart, Van Fagen. That came out of nowhere too. Took a leap of faith. I'd never been married. We got married. We started Shearer Enterprises, Rhonda Shearer Intimates, and we've been 23 years in the intimate apparel business, award-winning intimate apparel company. So I guess there's always a bit of an entrepreneur in me. As a stand-up and as a comic, I was selling myself, and even on Up All Night, before that was really cool about branding or selling merchandising yourself. I just always would promote other people on the show. So we always had such an amazing cast of people that would come on, and also big stars to come on and promote their work. And I loved promoting people, and I still do. But anyway, never thinking that we would actually, you know, reboot it. Although that was in the back of my mind, seeing that Joe Bob Briggs was still out there and Svengoolie and some of these other hosts. And certainly Elvira has just done so well. Cassandra Peterson, who I know, has done so well off of her brand that I thought about it, but I've been so busy with the intimate apparel business. It wasn't on the forefront.
But Rhonda, wait a minute. How do you talk without breathing?
I talk a lot.
She's not pausing for a breath, and I'm struggling.
I know. I'm going to pause for a sip. But it was kind of cool. I was at a convention signing autographs, which I haven't done in years either. And the Kings of Horror people came up to me, and we talked about doing a collaboration. I didn't think much of it at the time, but it's come fruition and it's happening. So there, what's great about the Kings of Horror, which is on YouTube, Kings of Horror, they do have 1.5 million subscribers, and their parent company licensed films. And that's the key to hosting films, is the films. And so they have a library right now of about 14,000 titles, first run, horror, comedy, everything in between. And getting the films is where it's at. So
when you first started it and in the first iteration of it, did you have an input into picking some of the films, or you left it up to the producers?
Oh, no, no. This was USA Network. It was early basic cable, which was wonderful, but it was in their library, what they were trying to, using Gilbert Gottfried, God bless him, and myself to host. I was hosting on Friday. He was hosting on Saturday nights. They were using us to keep people tuned into the films, obviously then to watch the commercials, which was paying the bills for USA Network. And it was a little cash cow, the show. So I had nothing to do with the films. It was a USA Network's library, and they were making money on it. So
good.
But this one, I do have something to do with it. And I can ask for certain films. They can suggest certain films. I can say no, I can say yes. I can say, well, this star is in this film. Can we try to get that film? Can you license that film? So it's a really lovely relationship that I did not have before.
Yeah. And what's great too, it's online. So it's a lot more flexible than it would be under a broadcast umbrella or even a cable umbrella in that sense too. Now, for those listening and not watching, you mentioned your Intimate Apparel company and goods, and she, Rhonda is wearing Intimate Apparel for those listening, but not imagination, Rhonda. That's what
Lacey. That's why I love radio. You can put anything in the minds, right?
Exactly.
Lacey. Panties and underwear. Ira and I. Ira, I sent Ira some too, so he's got his frillies on as well.
Exactly. And I don't mind it. I mean, I got it from you, and I really appreciate that. With that under, so it's good. So when you be, I want to point out also that one thing you didn't mention, but you got a BA in communications from Loyola. So, you know, you took the time to go to college before you decided to go to L.A. And
oh, yes. I had no choice. My parents would never. I was very close to my parents. And I, as Miss Louisiana, I went out to L.A. to do some promotion as Miss Louisiana. And as you would have it, the people I was working with, the publicist, his wife was the casting director for Happy Days. So at 19, I'm out there doing a promotion for a jewelry line that the Miss USA Network worked with. And his wife said, you'd be really great for this Christmas show that we're doing on Happy Days. And of course, I was a fan. You know, I was 19 at the time. And she got me in for an audition. I did not get the part, but that was it. That was it. I always wanted to act, and I was in communications, but it was in my mind to at least give LA a try. But my parents said, no, not till you graduate. So I have a few more years to go. Excuse me, I bumped the camera. A few more years to go, and then I got back out there. And one of the first things I got cast in was the Happy Days, which was really kind of interesting. And then I went on to do a few more of them. So that was great. So I was the kind of person, I guess I was entrepreneurial. I always used my contacts and held on to my contacts. And even at this point in my life, still have some of those early contacts that I work with, even talking to two of my early director producers from Up All Night and one of my writers. And they may do some work with us, which would be so wonderful and full circle. And you said something about interesting, because when I did Up All Night from 91 to 98. Gilbert was on from 89 to 98. It was definitely early years of basic cable, so we got to experiment more. And I don't think the higher-ups were really watching the show, so we got away with a lot. Obviously, on YouTube, we can do more, but they have guidelines too. So, but it's wonderful. It kind of reminds me of early Up All Night and USA Network that that there's this freedom to be able to play and really create and do what you want. So I think that's what's really cool about YouTube. And there's so many wonderful channels on there now. So the parent company it's a company called Blue Sky, but it's out of Prague. They also have a nostalgia channel, which skews 65 years old and up. They've got a comedy channel. So they're really starting to work with these channels and finding faces like myself to kind of be the anchor of the channel. So it's really fun for me to kind of be their representative and experiment. Now, here's the cool thing, Ira. My husband and I built a studio. We have two buildings. One house is Rhonda Shear Intimates, and the other was our warehouse. And then we didn't have use for the warehouse anymore because we started using another third party to warehouse our goods. So anyway, we decided to take this huge building and turn it into a studio. So we built Shear Media Studios, which is for all things production. People can rent it. We can produce for them. It's up to them. But it's podcasts. It's influencer suites. It's a cyclorama wall. It's many studios. It's really exciting. So obviously, Kings of Horror loved it because they've got the films and I've got the studio. Yeah, so we just rebuilt a bedroom that looks very similar to mine in the 90s.
Where do you get your energy from? Because I listening to you, I'm exhausted. But then again, I'm a little crazy. Where do you get your energy from?
I think this is truly a show that kind of, unfortunately, defines me because I did it for so long. So to come back full circle and do this in my life is so exciting and so fulfilling for me. I mean, I wrote a book. It was like talked about my early life and then finding love after 40 and then starting another career after 40. And I thought that was kind of it, which was a wonderful it. I've had a wonderful life here in Florida. But then to go back and people have reached out to me and I've done three films in the last year, like people who grew up with me that are now producing and directing. So I've did three films, a television show. Like, this is just a hoot. So it's fun, and hopefully we'll monetize it as well to pay the bills. But it's just more feeding my soul.
Yeah. But what I'm asking is, where do you get your energy in general? Because you're doing all these different things. So you're not just doing the show, but you're also doing Up All Night, which premieres October 25th. We mentioned of that. Well, I'll mention it again. But you also do all these other things, including converting the warehouse into a studio. So you've got, I'm exhausted hearing the projects. Where do you get all, how do you do that?
I don't know. We have to pull deep. I mean, my husband and I are definitely getting up. We're up there. But I guess I just have always felt like I haven't finished something. I don't know why I have that drive. I just do. Right. I have four kids. I've got three older siblings, and I'm the one that has the most drive. And I just always love to accomplish. And I feel like I have more to give. And I also love helping young people. So to give new writers and cast members and new filmmakers a chance to showcase themselves is really exciting to me. And also to bring back some comedy that's not political, that's just fun. I mean, that will be
entertainment.
Current.
Yeah, entertainment, in other words.
Yeah, it'll be totally current and today. And I mean, that's why I'm surrounding myself with young, fresh minds, along with my crazy brain. And but it'll be entertaining. It'll be entertaining, and like you can turn it on at 10 p.m. at night on a Saturday night. We'll be broadcasting. And just like forget everything and just enjoy movies and some silly, fun comedy. And I'm excited about that because even Saturday Night Live has gotten so political. I'm like, can we just do some just like.
Yeah, have fun.
Crazy characters, please. And I mean, we hear politics all day. Like, I don't remember ever having so much politics as a kid, or maybe I just was tuned it out on the news. But I mean, you could just turn on the news and hear the news. But now it's just all politics. So I think it's really cool for me to have that, you know, for people to have that release and that moment of escapism and to just enjoy themselves.
Yeah. And I mentioned the opening, it you premiere October 25th, but you're going to be doing it on a monthly basis after that.
Well, even more than that. So we have two specials. Our second one is November 22nd, Thanksgiving. And then we have a Christmas on December. That's it. Yeah. November 22nd, then December 20th. And then after that, after the first of the year, we go every other week. So we will be on a regular basis, which is more, I think, more than any horror host. I'm not sure how much Svengoolie produces, but that's exciting for me.
I think I have a suggestion, and if you decide to accept it, I'll small royalty, but meet with your husband. And here's what it's going to be. You're going to change your name slightly, and your last name is going to be your middle name. So the full name now is Rhonda Shearer Audacity.
I like Audacity, the Audacity. Yes. I love that. So I love it.
Maybe that could work. Well, will this be live versus recorded?
No, it'll be live to tape. But we will, I think it will be aired on like Twitter at the same time. So we'll be able to interact with people who are watching it. So I think that'll be fun because I do like that feeling of live interaction. But a show like this with so many sketches and cast members, it's too hard to do live. We thought about doing that. We may do a few live specials here and there. The Kings of Horror people want to do that. They might want to do a Super Bowl halftime special. We're going to compete with Bad Bunny. I'm going to have all cheerleaders and hot chicks on. I'm bringing back hot chicks. As they say, my body, my choice. I'm going to put lots of pretty girls with a lot of cleavage out there. But I'm in the bra business, so I can do that. I've been doing that for the last 23 years anyway.
Very uplifting. But
very uplifting.
Your memoir was called Up All Night, From Hollywood Bombshell to Lingerie Mogul. And when you wrote it, did you think that that was going to be the end of your career at that point? Or was it just you wanted to kind of put a period at that of that segment of your career?
I wanted to kind of get it out there because there was so much going on. I put the book out right before the whole Me Too movement exploded, but I did have a lot of Me Too prior to Me Too moments in there. So it was exciting to get the book out. And it isn't just a book about, you know, my gosh, it's such bigger names than me. It does have this wonderful romp through the, you know, my early life, my mom, who was a pageant mother. I ran for public office in New Orleans. It's just this crazy, you know, this route that I took. And then going to LA and then loving comedy, being told that I couldn't do stand up, but I ended up as a headliner, even though I was told, no, you have to be, you know, look funny to be funny. Anyway, every time someone would tell me no, even, now, I mean, I'm like, don't tell me no, I'm going to go for it. I would just told, no, you can't do comedy. No, you can't be in the intimate apparel business. And my husband's just like, maybe just put a stake in it and go for it. So I just want to tell that story and also give tips on how to start a business because my husband and I started from ground zero. He was a businessman and I was in LA, but still we had never been in the intimate apparel or apparel business. So starting that, working with factories, we manufacture, we do everything. We manufacture all over the world. So literally tiptoeing and starting that journey together from ground zero. And I mean, or below ground zero together was a great ride. And I just wanted to tell other people that they can do the same thing. So not to be afraid of that. So, and also finding love after 40. So yeah, I didn't think that was the end of the ride, but I felt like I had a lot to get out. And it's also kind of a rah-rah to women and to men, to businessmen or for people that are just trying to get a product to market. So there's a lot of how-to moments or just tips in there as well as going through my background and some fun stories, some funny stories, I think funny or out there stories. But yeah, so I even have, you know, I had a ghostwriter and then I rewrote what he did. I was a horrible person to work with because he helped me. Then I rewrote it and then I ended up rewriting. Then he actually fixed what I wrote. He's a lovely man. And he's at the time he didn't have privy to like really big time publishing. So we self-published and blah, 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 had a little publishing company. But now he's like, you've got to tell the story now because he's written two bestsellers and he said, your story now is really full circle. So I think it might be this time, instead of that title, it might be Badass Bitch After 60 and tell the story of, I mean, I'm not really a badass bitch, but you know, you do have a lot of, you do have to, you know, be strong.
Yeah. You have to be tough when you're dealing with, especially in the business world, show business and regular business as well. What do you have, how do you meet the challenge of being together, husband and wife, as husband and wife, and also as business partners for all these years and still not be throwing dishes against the wall? Or
there's been a couple of mannequins thrown through the years. it's easy at times and hard at times because I was never married before and I don't have children. I have two stepchildren and grandchildren, but I don't have kids of my own. But so to me, that's another reason I have the energy because I think I never had kids. So I'm just you're just always going to be immature and open. I love listening to young people. I learn a lot from young people. So I'm very open to that. A lot of older people are like, I know everything. I don't feel like I know everything. But there's times when it is hard because, you know, I'll feel like I know something. He'll feel like he knows something. But it always works out. Our biggest fights in our life have really not, we've had a few, but have not been over business. But he's the same guy he was at, I met him when we were 12 and 13. He's the same guy he was then. People don't change. So our fights actually stem back, usually stupid things. So we're like, but then we both forget why we had a fight about 10 minutes later. And we're like, where are we going to eat? You know, or we're cooking something in the house. We're both from New Orleans, so we're really good cooks. So, we've done really well. He's a businessman and he gets that side and he's really made lemonades out of lemons through the years. I mean, because we started with financially, I mean, nothing. So he's done some magic where my side was the energy marketing. Wow. Let's do. And he's like, he always calls himself the hare. And I'm the hare and he's the tortoise, but he's like slow, but steady. And
I was going to say, he's low key and you're the total opposite.
Yeah. It works out. But we definitely have our differences of opinions. But sometimes I'm just like, I back off and then I win anyway. So it's okay.
Who was the most impactful person you met when you were in Hollywood? What I mean by impactful, that had an impact on you in the sense of giving you either direction or suggestions that helped you pursue what you wanted to pursue?
Probably a couple of people, and they were both my producers on Up All Night. And one was a gentleman named Hilary Schachter. He's the one who actually cast me and believed in me and liked my humor that it was out there. And another one was a woman who I'm talking to right now who may come back and do some work with us. Her name is Kak Young. And Kak was a really early producer, director of variety shows and shows that I loved back in the day. And she knows how to light a woman and direct a woman. And she knows how to bring out the very best. And like she looks at you and finds the funny in you. And I felt that she really pushed me in really great ways. I mean, I didn't realize it at the time, but when I think back, I'm like, wow, she did some amazing things. So I think it was both Hilary and Kak that influenced me because they were really hands-on more than anybody else. I was the kind of talent that I was told that I was unmanageable. And I think it's because I was always wanting to get ahead. And I felt like management moved too slow for me. So if anything, I oversold myself in Hollywood as opposed to letting things just happen. But it's like, time's wasting here. Come on. I think you hear that from a lot of actors that don't have parents or family in the business that a lot of the jobs that they get are from themselves, from their pushing, from their contacts.
Right.
And that's probably why I've had this eclectic journey, but I don't think I would have it any other way because I love hosting. I love emceeing. I love interviewing people. And I think on Up All Night, I get to do all that. I get to be funny. I get to do sketches and I get to interview. I'm already like booking some of the directors from some of these films. So we'll do it as an interview, but it will come off. I have this heart on the set. So it'll be green screen and they'll be in my world and it'll be a little scripted. Then we'll go off script because I want it to feel organic. Not that I'm just doing, you know, an interview out of nowhere in the middle of a sketch.
So people will be coming down to Florida to use the.
Both. We're going to have people because at this point we're so new. I mean, there's so many people I want to get on and we're not a network. We're doing this independently at first. I mean, we do have ways we're monetizing through Patreon and through product and merchandise, sponsors, but you know, we're babies right now. So we're walking, I mean, we're crawling and then we're going to walk, then we're going to run. So I think I have a feeling this show is going to just blow up. I really do. It. The fans are out there. Everyone I've reached out to has said, I want to be on the show. JB Smooth is a fan. I have all these people that are fans. Like I just read this article that Bill Hader was interviewed and he said it was Rhonda Shear from Up All Night is the reason why he got into comedy. I'm like, Bill, please get me Bill Hader. Okay. So, but I really feel like I could reach out to a lot of people and they would say yes. Certainly it hasn't been any problem with any of my old friends or celebrities from my year. So what we're doing is we'll Zoom some people in, but then we'll make them appear like they're on the set.
Right.
And then we'll have guests in. So I have John Brennan and a gentleman named Yuki that are coming on our first show. John Brennan is was with Joe Bob Briggs for many years. He still does his music, but he's going to be kind of a regular on my show on camera. So people will know him from the horror genre. So I'm excited that I'll have people like Linnea Quigley and Felicia Rose. They're B queens. They'll be making regular drop-ins, and they'll be on camera. A lot of B queens are jumping into Scream Queens. They really want to be here, so we're bringing them in. So it's just organically growing. We're new. I mean, we haven't even done our first show yet. We shoot on the 20th.
And so, I think you have a built-in audience to begin with that remembers the first show, and I think you're going to be able to get other people that are not familiar with the original run there as well.
Absolutely. There's so many people. I've been starting to go to these conventions, and people come up and they go, oh my gosh, you're my childhood, my youth. You got me through puberty. And here's my son or my daughter, and they love you because I turn them on to you. And then there's a few even grandkids. So it's, I think that we will have the built-in audience, and then we will pull the younger audience in because we're going to stay young and fresh and have a lot of young people on. I don't want to just host this show myself. I always wanted to have surround myself with
an ensemble,
and also filmmakers, because I'm not as much of a film buff like as a Joe Bob Briggs, who writes all of his own material and knows all things horror. So I admittedly come more from comedy and acting background. So I will have those experts on with me. I want to be authentic to the audience. I'm not going to say, well, I know everything about this film, and I don't, but I will bring on the directors and the actors from the film that can talk about the film. And I think that will bring the authenticity, and I'll learn at the same time as the fans.
And I think, does the tortoise agree with all your decisions?
The tortoise does agree.
Okay, well, that's good.
The tortoise, just walked out the front door. You know, I'm home right now. As I said, we drove 10 hours from our home in North Carolina. And the tortoise is very proud of me, but, you know, he's not like going to sit around and watch me tape or film. It's funny. He's very proud, but, you know, he helped build this. He built the set, basically.
Sure, but he designed it. While you're doing that, he's working on the books.
So, it's very true. On my very, you know, we have been on Home Shopping Network, HSN, for 23 years. Amazing. And the first time we were on was an opportunity, and it was also a survival opportunity because we got married and we're like, now what? He was living in New Orleans, or Lafayette, Louisiana, rather. We're both from New Orleans. And I was living in LA, and I'm like, now what? So we wanted to work together. So we heard about this opportunity in the intimate apparel business. There was a slot open on Home Shopping Network. So we sent my things in. We got lucky. They needed me because they had lost their intimates person. That was a very small category then. So they brought me in, and we basically relabeled product that we bought that was generic at that time. Mm-hmm. And we sold out within minutes. And my husband is counting.
Of course.
Wow. Because they don't go by ratings on HSN. They go by dollars per minute. So, you know, he's looking at that. And so the buyers bring us in, which is equivalent to your producers, right? And they're like, when could you be back? And I'm like, next week. And he's like, well, honey, we don't have product. I just want to be on TV. So lo and behold, 23 years later, we designed everything. I design. We have in-house people that are sewers. We develop. And then we send out worldwide and manufacture all over the world. We've manufactured everywhere. And continue to do so. So it's very cool where we are literally from design to the consumer.
Before I let you go, one last question. What would you like new viewers and listeners who may not have been at the original Up All Night to know about Up All Night?
Oh, my goodness. Up All Night. Well, first of all, I say Up All Night like that. I've created this over-the-top blonde character. I'll still be saying Up All Night, but I will have Up All Night, but I'll have a lot of young, pretty people showing cleavage, not me, and good-looking boys. I'll have good-looking boys. It is a politically incorrect, politically correct, aware show that is going to be comedy-driven along with horror films. So it's escapism. So join us, and you're gonna have fun. Even if you close your eyes during some of the horror movies, you'll enjoy the horror movies. They're independent. They're really cool. And also you'll definitely enjoy our wonderful cast of characters and actors. And I think we need some comedy in the world right now. I think we just need some good old fashioned comedy and characters, and some may be silly and some whatever. You're going to enjoy it. And you're going to get some good laughs out of it.
Well, that's a great way to leave it. Rhonda Shear, Up All Night premieres October 25th. You can stream Up All Night at kingsofhorror.com/Up All Night. That's kingsofhorror.com/upallnight. You can follow Rhonda at rhondashearupallnight.com and follow her on Facebook, Instagram, X, and YouTube. Rhonda, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you, Ira. I enjoyed our hats together.
Yes, me too. And join us every Thursday for a new schmear on Ira's Everything Bagel.